The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I suspect when Pascal Donoghue is here in a few minutes, we will ask him about these tensions still rumbling on today between the UK and Ireland and the number of asylum seekers coming to this country from Britain into Northern Ireland and then down south across the border. Joining me beforehand to discuss is Edwina Curry, who's a former Conservative MP and Government Minister. Edwina, thanks a million for taking the time to speak to us. Am I correct in thinking you actually welcomed this row?
Well, I would hope so. I hope that something really positive has to come out of this, because both our countries are facing a huge increase in immigration, some of it for reasons like Ukraine. And I have a Ukrainian family of refugees actually living with me. But some of it is being driven by these criminal gangs, and they're trading on people's both ambition and misery. And we should not be kind of blaming each other. We should be trying to sort of solve the problems together. We used to have something called the Dublin Agreement, and that covered the return of migrants, under which migrants could be sent back to a safe country, a third country, through which they'd pass before arriving at their destination. And what Britain was able to do was send people back to France, and that's not possible now. And at the moment, you can't actually send people back to Northern Ireland. So what we want to do is see if something positive can come out of this. I tell you why, Kieran, at the back of my mind is the suspicion that much of what is happening is driven by some people who don't like us very much. And by us, I mean the democracies, the free world, Europe. And they are trying to disrupt our countries by sending great waves of rather unfortunate people from many countries, often from Africa, into countries where they start to cause all sorts of problems, not least housing and schools and all that kind of thing. You are experiencing it. We're experiencing it as well. They're trying to disrupt our countries in a year when we have elections. And that should be, in my very long-term view, that should be something we should resist together.
And it's your sense of this that, you know, those criminal gangs you mentioned, that they're not the ultimate decision makers, that kind of there are people above them orchestrating this to a degree, or certainly encouraging it.
I think so. I mean, they're not creating the demand. The demand will always be there as long as there are some countries that are poorer than other countries, of course. But they are creating the systems, the very sophisticated systems, whereby people are being encouraged to hand over large sums of money. And a lot of people who are travelling are relatively well off. They're often relatively educated, and they see no future in their country. And that's sometimes because of civil war or other issues. And do you know what? It's bigger than just sending people back to Rwanda. That's my feeling. And if we just...
Yeah. I mean, the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, is that who you're talking about?
I think it could be the Russians as much as anything. They've got contacts, and they're stirring it in a number of countries, which makes life very, very hard for anybody that wants to have, you know, a good life for themselves and their families. I'm sympathetic to many of the people who get into the boats, not least because that's what my grandfather did back in the 1890s when he came to Britain. And, you know, a lot of these are good people. That doesn't mean they should have automatic right of access, and it doesn't mean that we should have open borders. But we should be working together, especially Britain and Ireland. Let's see if we can get this Dublin Agreement set up again. Let's see if we can get Ireland and the UK, London and Dublin working together and saying to the rest of the EU, come on, wise up, wise up. Let's put barriers in the way of this trade, and that way we can make sure that the trade is reduced to a mere trickle, a minimum.
So, because my sense of it, and I wonder what you think, is that Ireland kind of finds itself in terms of its relationship with the UK on this issue in the same position the UK found itself in relation to France. You know what I mean? Like, as in the kind of the French were able to say, well, listen, you know, we're not taking people back who crossed on dinghies because, you know, we've no international obligation or legal obligation to do so. You know, suddenly that's the kind of the response that is available to Rishi Sunak, and it doesn't suit Ireland or Brussels anymore.
there's an element of, you know, knowing what it's like when you're on the receiving end of all this. We really do not like many, many thousands of people coming across the channel, which is one of the busiest shipping lanes in the world. It's seriously dangerous. It's dangerous to the ships that are crossing as well, involving lifeguards, involving our Navy, involving the French Navy as well. The French Navy's helping them to go. This is ridiculous. You know, this is insane. We should not be helping people travel illegally across legal borders. Mm. We should be working together. We should be working absolutely together. And that's you and us and France and Belgium and any other countries in the EU. We used to do it.
Yeah.
We did this before we left the EU. And we should be able to do it again. We're supposed to be intelligent people, Kieran. You and I could get it sorted out in 5 minutes.
The other option, I guess, you know, technically speaking, is that, you know, policymakers in Brussels say, well, hold on, a solution to this is you just close the border between North and South, you know, on the island of Ireland. Hard to imagine that, though, isn't it? I mean, they're guarantors of the Good Friday Agreement, and given all of the debate and discussion around that issue in the context of Brexit, I assume that's going to be a non-runner.
My expectation is that's a non-runner. I certainly hope so. I mean, I don't think the United Kingdom is going to close that border. We've had endless debates and discussions about how to keep it open. And that's what everybody on both sides of the border wants. We've only just got back to having a proper power-sharing agreement that's working in the north. We don't want to put that into undue strain either. I mean, recognise, I think it's widely understood that the 100,000 plus people you've had, how many have you had? 140,000 immigrants.
Mm.
It's an enormous number in a country with a much smaller population than we have. And those sort of numbers would give us considerable pause for thought, not least because if you do want to give people asylum, you've got to have somewhere to put them, you've got to have systems and courts and all the rest of it in order to process them properly. And we're really struggling with our numbers, and you are struggling with yours. So come to an agreement with us, talk to France, talk to Brussels, lay down the law as far as they're concerned. Mm. We should be able to get back to the what was called the Dublin Agreement, under which migrants were sent back if they came through a safe country.
And do you suspect, Edwina, if we got to that point, if an agreement could be hammered out, that actually it would spell an end to the Rwanda policy as well? Or it would certainly kind of undermine its necessity, wouldn't it?
My suspicion, I haven't talked to anybody in Westminster about it this week, but my suspicion is that it will. The Rwanda policy will continue, but it's only ever going to take back a few people, you know, talking about hundreds at most. And we haven't sent off, you know, the only person that's flown to Rwanda from the UK recently has been foreign ministers and people like that.
What is it? Suella Braverman and journalists are the only people who've been sent to Rwanda.
Bags full of cash to ensure that Rwanda's ready for it. It's never going to be a big policy. If it is deterring people from coming, great, absolutely great. And maybe you will join in. Rwanda lost an enormous amount of its population in its civil war. It's tried to put itself back together again. It's done that very, very well. I think it has more women MPs than it has men MPs, so maybe that tells you something. And we should all together, we in the free West, be combining to put a stop to illegal traffic. As far as the UK is concerned, there are plenty of legal ways to apply to come. We have hundreds of thousands of visas issued every year. And nobody from Ireland needs a visa. You can come and work freely with us, and we're delighted to have you. So it can be done in a legal way. But the kind of cruelty and the criminality, and I think the nasty politics behind the criminal gangs, need to be tackled together.
How much, Edwina, are kind of looming local elections a feature in the politics of all this, just from a UK point of view?
Do you want a frank answer?
Yes, please.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, you know, I think the turnout's going to be poor. The Conservatives are braced for losing a lot of seats, not least because last time when these seats were up, we won far better than we were expecting. And that was because Brexit was still in question. So the people made their views very strongly felt. But a lot of those seats are now quite vulnerable. We've got a general election this year. The polls are not looking good. People factor this in. Mm. You know, the Rwanda policy is intended to do what it says on the tin, to get people away from Britain into a safe country. And it can be part of a general process of saying to these criminal gangs, you're wasting your time. And to the people who are doing this, don't waste your money. It's not worth it. You're going to find yourself being sent back to somewhere you don't want to be.
Edwina Curry, former Tory MP and Minister. Edwina, a pleasure as always. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.